الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. A prophetic advice. Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "Who would receive these words from me, act upon them, or teach them to someone so that person may act upon them?" Abu Huraira replied, I will, O Messenger of Allah." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed him by his hand and he said, "Count these five. Avoid prohibitions. You will be the most devout of worshippers. And be pleased and content with what Allah has granted you. You will be the richest of people. Be kind to your neighbor and you will be a true believer. Love for the people what you love for yourself and you will be a true Muslim. And do not laugh extensively because laughing extensively will kill the heart or will cause the heart to die." This is from among the concise statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He encouraged us to act upon this information and to teach it to others, so that one may perfect oneself and then one may perfect those around him. Because true success lies in being able to perfect oneself and then share that with those around him. As Allah said in the Quran in Surah Al-Asr, by the passage of time, every son of Adam, every human being is immersed in loss, except those who believe, do righteous deeds, and remind each other and enjoin to one another the truth and enjoin to one another patience. So they perfected themselves and they strove to perfect those who are around them. In regards to the statement of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, I'm willing to take that information. This indicates the keenness that he had radiallahu anhu in terms of acquiring knowledge and seeking goodness. In regards to the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took me by the hand. This indicates that he either used his own hand or even Abu Huraira's hands to count five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Either way, this indicates this compassion, this love. And as the Shaykh mentioned in the khutbah, that you know how honored is Abu Huraira to have had the opportunity to grab the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first advice was ittaqi. Of course, you hear this word all the time, taqwa. Muttaqoon, muttaqeen, yattaqi, taqwa, and different derivatives of the word. And the meaning has to do primarily linguistically with protection. With protection. Now, it has different meanings depending on the context. Ittaqun nar, meaning protect yourself from the fire. Ittaqullah, meaning protect yourself from the punishment of Allah. So it has to do with fear. You fearing something evil, something that will be harmful to you. So you place between yourself and that thing some protection so that you avoid the consequences. That is the core meaning of the word. Here, ittaqi al-maharim means protect yourself from falling into the violations, from violating, from prohibitions, from the restrictions which Allah has laid down. You will be the most devout of worshippers or the best of slaves of Allah. The Shaykh said this is so because the one who does not do so, the one who falls into these violations, may have his deeds nullified. His deeds may be nullified. And we learn this from a hadith, a very dangerous hadith in fact, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned against those who violate the limitations. He said in the hadith of Thawban, "I shall know of some people from my nation who will come on the day of resurrection with good deeds equivalent to the mountains of Tihama." Mountains of Tihama, meaning these people will come with mountains of good deeds. However, Allah Azza wa Jal will make them haba'an manthura. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Allah will make these mountains of good deeds equivalent to dust that you blow. When you blow at the dust, it just little particles of dust, you see them fly. No weight, no value, no substance. You only need like the sun ray to be able to see them flying. You see them through the window whenever the sun comes in. They are of no value, of no benefit. If you put them on a scale, is the scale going to go down? Nothing. Allah will make all of these good deeds equivalent to the scattered dust. So the Sahaba panicked, obviously, and they said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, describe these people for us. Describe them, make it clear who they are. So perhaps we may fall into them, we may be of them without even knowing. Maybe we have these qualities." He said, "Verily there will be brothers, your own brothers, from your own skin. And they will even pray at night like you pray at night. However, their main quality is they will be people whom whenever they are in seclusion, whenever they are in seclusion, they violate the prohibitions of Allah." Allah al-Musta'an. We're all in trouble. We're all in trouble. Unless we repent. Because obviously most people avoid the public sinning. Some people just don't care actually. They do public sinning and they enjoy it and they brag about it. These are, you know, their hearts are dead. These are not only bad people, they're bad people times five. Because they've reached a level that even shyness, which is something that you're supposed to have, is gone missing as well. That's why the other hadith says, "Kullu ummati mu'afa." All of my nation will be protected and saved in some sense, illa al-mujahirun, except those who publicize their sins. So they listen to music loud in front of the people. He doesn't care whether you like it or not. He smokes publicly. He doesn't care whether you like it or not. He try to pick on women publicly. He doesn't care whether you like it or not. Their sins are done publicly. People are praying. He's sitting in the car. There's no hiding. And there are the other kinds of sins which one obviously does behind closed doors. Now, of course, whenever we come to these narrations, we have to understand them in the light of other narrations. Otherwise, if any one of us sinned in secret, and then this will be the case, then we will all go to Jahannam. But the truth is, there's more to it. This usually deals with the one who doesn't repent, or with the one who takes the matter lightly. Yani, they have two fronts. They're hypocrites. Publicly they claim something and in secret they do something else without any remorse, without any guilt. Otherwise, naturally you will sin in secret. You will sin behind closed doors. But how do you feel? Do you enjoy it and then go out and claim the opposite? Or do you feel remorseful? Do you feel guilty? This will make a distinction between the two categories. Otherwise, no one will escape the trouble. But the hadith is still threatening. So these people will have their good deeds wasted because of what they have done in secret. So then basically, violating the limitations of Allah is the source of every calamity. Abu Darda used to say, One of you should be careful of having the hearts of the believers curse him from a place or from where he does not expect. Then he said, "Verily, a slave will be in seclusion and he will violate and disobey Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jal will cast into the hearts of the believers hatred for him." Yani, they don't even have to know what he did. But he disobeys Allah in secret, he goes out to the people, Allah will put hatred towards that person in the believer's heart. In the believer's heart. So they naturally hate him because Allah cast that hate in their hearts because of his sins in secret. He further said, the Shaykh, many of the people today attribute the calamities which befall them to nature, financial problems, and things of this sort. And they fail to understand that this is a false and fallacy. Everything that happens is because Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who decreed it. It is not because of some purpose that is besides Allah's will and intent. So let every Muslim and Muslima know that what we see today in terms of lack of morality, disobedience and disrespectful to the parents, or any other sin, all of this is because the people have turned away from their Lord and Master. And so because of that, corruption has spread upon earth and in the sea, as the ayah says, corruption has appeared on the earth and in the sea because of what the people have earned with their own hands, so that Allah may make them taste some of that which they have done, perhaps they will return to Him. So every Muslim should fear Allah and look into his affair and repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, and let him know that every calamity which befalls him is because of a sin that one committed. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. No calamity befalls you except that which you have earned with your own hands. And Allah says, and He pardons a lot. Meaning if He didn't pardon us, we won't even survive. مَا تَرَكَ عَلَى ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. If Allah treated the people the way they deserve, not even an animal would be able to walk on the face of the planet. But Allah Azza wa Jal yu'ajjil, He postpones this until يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allahul Musta'an. The second advice is be satisfied, be content with that which Allah had decreed for you, which He has given you, your portion of the dunya, you will be the richest of people. Meaning, whatever Allah gives you and He made it your sustenance, if you accept that, you become the richest of people. Because contentment is actually richness. When you're content, you become rich. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who is rich, the rich person is not one who has a lot of wealth, but the one who is rich within himself. The one who is rich within himself. Ibn Battal, one of the ulama, said in commenting on the hadith, he said, what is intended by the hadith is that the true richness is not proportional to the abundance of wealth. Because many people, Allah has given them a lot of wealth, and they're not satisfied. And he mentioned, you know, people that are millionaires. They got a lot more money than we can ever imagine of accumulating, and yet they're saying, is there any more? Give me more. They want more, and they're not content with all the money they have. Whereas he mentioned someone who has a 2,000 riyal, you know, salary, and khalas, he understands that this is from Allah, and he's okay. He learned to accept 2,000 riyals a month, and the person cannot accept 500,000 riyals a month. Because the determining factor here is their contentment with what Allah Azza wa Jal had given them. So you will find the one who's rich actually becomes poor because of how keen he is on making more. That feeling in him that I want more makes him poor. He's like a poor person trying to get more. Ajib. So, but the truth of richness is the richness of this of oneself. And he is the one who becomes satisfied and content with what Allah has given him, and he does not seek any more. So he becomes as if he's a rich person. You know, a rich person doesn't need any more, supposedly. He's supposed to not need any more. The poor person becomes like the rich. He says, I'm okay the way I am. Thank you very much. Ala kulli hal, it's upon the Muslim to work with his hand and rely with his heart upon Allah. And have firm belief that not even a drop falls from the sky or a flower grows from the earth except by the will of Allah. And no soul shall pass away until it receives its due sustenance and time, duration of life. No one is going to die with his risk being deficient. What Allah had decreed 50,000 years before He created the heavens and earth, as in the hadith, is going to come. There's no escape from that. Allah says in the Quran, verily it is we who have divided their livelihood in this worldly life. في الحياة الدنيا ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض درجات. And we have raised some over some in degrees. يعني Allah made someone as a mudir and someone is the one working for the mudir. This is the wisdom of Allah, that not all people are equal. It's impossible for everybody to be equal. So it's the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you're the mudir, there's, you know, you have to deal with a lot of things. Don't get excited. And if you're not a mudir, you have been saved a lot of things. Because it may be a responsibility which you can't handle. Like the Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Dharr, don't ask and don't be in charge of any group of people. It's not for you. And some people, once they're given that position, it backfires and it ruins them. And when they were regular employees, they were doing good. Once they became of a higher position, it became bad for them. So whether you're the mudir or working for the mudir, it's good for you, inshallah. And don't seek something that may make matters worse for you. Of course, you want goodness, but let it come from Allah. Don't ask for something which you don't know if it's good or not. In another ayah, Allah said, and had Allah bestowed His sustenance upon for all of His slaves, لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ, they would have transgressed upon earth. But He sends down a due portion to whomever He wills. Verily, in regards to His slaves, He is the most expert, the all-seeing. Yani Allah sends down what is suitable for each one. It's like medication. You don't give this the patient more medicine than he needs, it will also be harmful. So it is sent down with a due measure. Allah knows what each person needs because He is the most expert. He said, so be satisfied and content, O slave of Allah, with what Allah Azza wa Jal has provided you, and you will be the richest of people. And reflect on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whosoever amongst you wakes up in the morning secure in his neighborhood, secure in his neighborhood, and he is healthy in his body, and he has enough food for that day, then it is as if the whole dunya with everything in it has been brought to him for his service. Some of the ulama said, in commenting, he said, we have to understand the hadith in the light of today's life. Obviously, back then, they didn't have no issues with rent and no issues with, you know, things that you pay in monthly installments. So to understand the hadith in our context, whoever has a salary, because now if they take away 1 month's salary, you're done. Most of us, at least. If you don't have a month's salary, then you can't pay this and you can't pay that and you can't, and you're done. So to, like today, whoever has this, because one may say anyone can have a food for 1 day. Anyone can have food for 1 day. But that means whoever has been secured in this fashion, it's as if he have the whole dunya. It's as if he has the whole dunya. Because now you work on monthly basis, per salary basis. Back then it was tijara. If you earned enough wealth for that day to eat, alhamdulillah. Now it doesn't happen unless you're a merchant. But most people are getting paid salary if they're getting paid. Some people get paid after 5-6 months. And they have to, you know, borrow money until such time. Not acceptable, but it happens all the time. Ala kulli hal, in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, he has succeeded the one who submits to Allah and whose sustenance suffices him, and he becomes content with what Allah had given him. So never look at those who are above you. Look at those who are beneath you. And not in regards of the religion. In regards of the religion, look at those who are ahead of you and try to catch up with them. But dunya, the Shaykh said, if you're driving a car and you see someone with a nicer car, don't look at him. Look at the person who's walking or using a bicycle. Say, alhamdulillah, I have a car. Other people don't have a car. Based on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, look at those who are below you. Do not look at those who are above you. This is more likely that you will not belittle the favor of Allah upon you. So you become unappreciative to that which Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon you. The third advice was, be kind to your neighbor. You will be a true believer. Allah has commanded excellence in the way we treat neighbor, and the statement of Allah, and worship Allah alone and associate none in worship with Him. And regarding the parents, you should have ihsan, excellence. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى, and your relatives. وَالْيَتَامَى, and the orphans. وَالْمِسْكِينَ, and the poor. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, and the neighbor who is a relative of yours. وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبَ, and the neighbor who is beside you. Your neighbor, in other words. And many narrations, he quoted them. The number one, he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, Jibreel continued to advise me in regards to the neighbor until I thought that he will be given a portion of inheritance. This is how often that was done. He said in another hadith, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him be kind and treat with excellence his neighbor. And a third hadith, he said, the best of companions before Allah are the best to their companions. And the best neighbors with Allah are those who are best to their neighbors. If you're unable to be so excellent in the way you treat your neighbor, then at least do not harm him. At least do not harm him. As for harming the neighbor, it's haram. And just to give you a live, classic example. Just last night, I go upstairs to my house to find right in front of our stairs a bag of diapers. Not Pampers new as a gift for us to use them for my child. No, used diapers. and shoes and rotten bread. Right there before our stairs. Every time we go up, they juice anything you want. There's a bagala on our staircase. Very generous neighbors. But I wish it was edible. It's all the leftovers, junk that they leave right every day. Almost every day. And my mind gets puzzled. Ya Jama'at al-Khair, I don't understand where are we? What kind of nonsense is this? No consideration whatsoever. This is my personal experience based on what he's saying. I don't know what you go through, and I hope you don't go through that. But I'm telling you that this is not hypothetical. This is a fact that we're living. Neighbors have become, not only they don't, fine, don't give me salam, and don't, but just don't harm me, ya akhi. At least let me live. Live and let me live. But to put your trash and your diapers right in front of my house is unacceptable. And so some people really are bad. They block the other car. They know that they're blocking the other car. He parks his car and goes upstairs to have a little nap. Tabi akhi, what about the person who needs to leave at some particular time? In a point in time? No consideration. But to Allah we complain. Listen to this now. Don't harm him. Because harming a Muslim is haram. If he's your neighbor, it's more sinful to do so. Imam Ahmad narrated a hadith from Al-Miqdad ibn Aswad. He said, the Prophet said to the Sahaba, what do you say about zina? They said, Allah and His Messenger have made it haram, so it is haram. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if a man were to commit zina with 10 women, it is better for him than committing zina with his neighbor's wife. Not that he's encouraging the 10, but in terms of gravity, having zina with 10 strange women is not as sinful as having zina with your neighbor's wife because of the right of the neighbor. He further said, what do you say about theft? They said, it's haram. Allah and His Messenger made haram. It's haram until the Yawm al-Qiyamah. He said, for one person to steal or rob 10 homes, 10 houses, it is easier for him or less sinful than for him to steal his neighbor's house. So that shows you the level that they have in terms of their rights. To what extent do they have rights? This is how severe the matter is. In Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wallahi he does not believe. Wallahi he does not believe. Wallahi he does not believe. They said, who, O Messenger of Allah? He said, the one whose neighbor does not feel safe of his sin, of his evil, I'm sorry. The one whose neighbor does not feel safe of his evil. Meaning you have some neighbor who you just don't want to come across him, and you're always worried about the next evil thing he will do to you. According to the hadith, this person, that neighbor, that evil person, he's not a believer, according to the hadith. Not negating iman, he may be praying and doing things, but as the hadith explained, not perfect in his iman. Meaning his iman is very deficient. Very deficient. To treat a neighbor in this fashion. And this is something that we experience today. I just gave you an example earlier. The Prophet ﷺ used to actually encourage that neighbors should give gifts to each other and to keep the ties. And he used to prohibit that someone belittles anything that a neighbor gives you as a gift. He said in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, give gifts to each other, you will attain love. And you will love each other. In another hadith, he said to the woman, O Muslim woman, do not belittle anything that your neighbor gives you as a gift, even if it is the leg of a goat, even if it's the bottom of the leg of a goat, something that you may not even eat. Even if it's something that insignificant, at least she gave it to you, intending to give you a gift. Do not belittle that. Do not belittle that. The Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Dharr, O Abu Dharr, when you make some soup, increase it. So and increase it, and do not forget those who are around you, your neighbors. Yani, increase the food and give some. And this is a very nice way to keep the relationship. And women, by the way, have to do this. You see, if one neighbor gave another neighbor a plate of food, okay, and they use their own plate, don't use plastic ones, use an actual one, then the woman of that other house who received it, she finds it obligatory that she returns the plate empty or with food? With food. And so they remain in this thing for 2, 3, 5 years, Allahu A'lam how long. So then they give it, then we give it back to them. Then we put food and give it back to them, and the list goes on. But alhamdulillah, that keeps the relationship alive. that keeps the goodness, sharing with the neighbor's food. This is something very easy. Instead of, you know, cooking so much and throwing it away, or you find out you cook too much, share it with the neighbors. You got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Aisha asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, O Messenger of Allah, I have two neighbors. Which one of them should I give a gift? He said, the one who is closest to your door. So the closer the neighbor, the more of a right they have. And the Shaykh said at the end, and let it be known that from among the reasons due to which someone will enter Jahannam will be the neighbors, or the way they treat their neighbors. The Prophet ﷺ said that a man said to the Messenger of Allah, Fulana, X among the women, is known, it is common among the people to speak about how often she prays, and how often she fasts, and how often she gives sadaqah. She's famous among people in her ibadah. However, she harms her neighbors with her tongue. Not something worse than that, just with the tongue. He said, Hiya finnar, she is in the hellfire. Subhanallah. So all of these ibadat were of no value because she was harming the neighbors with her tongue, harming them with the tongue, let alone with something greater than that. Because if you say something about someone, I mean, what harm? Is they going to fall? No, unless it's an evil eye. But putting things in their way and doing blocking their cars and you know, beating their children or anything of the sort, that's real harmful. That is really harmful. So, you know, look how dangerous this is. On the other hand, it was said to the Prophet ﷺ, however, this other lady, it is known amongst the people that she doesn't pray that often. Of course, here they mean nawafil. She prayed 5 times a day. That's a done deal. And she didn't fast that often, and she didn't give so many sadaqah, but she used to give charity with dried yogurt. She would give small pieces of yogurt or milk as a sadaqah to her neighbors. He said she is in Jannah. A little bit of good deeds and being kind to the neighbors, that admitted her to paradise. The last paragraph, he quoted that one of the ulama summarized it. What is intended here in terms of the rights of the neighbor? Among the rights of the neighbor is that you initiate the salam when you see him. And you do not speak too much to him, because some neighbors won't let you go. You know, he talks and talks, and you just made it home, you're tired after a long day of work, and he wants to talk and talk. Take it easy, man. Khalas, you know, a few words, 2-3 minutes, and let the person leave. Talking too much is annoying. Generally speaking, by the way, not just in the neighbors. One of us should be mindful of other people's times. People have other obligations to attend to. So sometimes the speech is precise, it is beneficial, and it's getting you somewhere. And sometimes people just talk and talk, and they don't even know what they're saying. If you ask them, what are you saying? Say, I don't know, I forgot. So let's be objective. Even when we speak to the people, be objective. Know what you're going to say, be concise, and once you're done, khalas. Don't just invent new conversations because you're bored. Because you may be bored, he may be busy. So this is yani out of consideration towards other people. I'm not hinting at anything here. So then don't speak too long to him. Visit him when he's sick. Give him condolences when someone dies in his family. Congratulate him when there's some sort of thing which requires congratulations. Ignore his mistakes. Don't look into their homes, and you know, if they leave the door open, try to see what's going on in there. Do not harm him by placing something in his way. Hello. And do not make the road too narrow for him to make it to his home. Don't put something that will block his way. And do not look at what he carries when he makes it home. Because some people do that. You know, you go to Danube and you have the bags, and he's looking at the bags. Okay, it's juice, apples. Say, this is embarrassing, man. Khalas, brother, you know. Mind your business, man. And you can't hide the bags behind your back. There are too many. So don't look in the bags. Salaam alaikum, look him in the eye, and khalas. Don't go and check it. Let me see. Right there, you got soup again. They're having the soup. Then he goes, he tells his wife, our neighbors are having ABC. Yeah, Sheikh, you're a man. This is for women. Even for women, this is not okay. Let the people eat whatever they want to eat. Tayyib. Sorry about that one. And other obligations. So the right of the neighbor then is not easy. And we must fulfill it. And the Shaykh said, if we reflect upon our condition today, you know, we don't understand what's going on. All of these things have been wasted. It's almost we're speaking about some book that, you know, you read. It is not something which you can tangibly experience in today's life. Because supposedly we have become so civilized. So everyone is busy. Oh, I'm busy, brother, I'm busy. Everyone is busy chasing after the dunya. So you find, he said, that two people have been living in the same building for many years. For many years, they've never entered each other's homes. Have we done that or not? They've never even entered each other's homes. And he doesn't check on him. He may travel, become sick, something happens, and the neighbor is unaware of what's going on. In fact, not only that, there's enmity between them, and they're always fighting verbally and physically, and so on and so forth. All this is against the teachings of Islam. All this negates the teachings of Islam. So we must reflect on our condition. We must look at what we're doing, and we must rectify ourselves. We must rectify ourselves. The Shaykh said, in regards to the other two advices from the Prophet ﷺ to Abu Hurairah, then these will be continued inshallah next week. This coming Monday, the 26th, I believe, of December, and I should have used the Hijri, but I cannot remember the date in Hijri. The lecture will be at the International Medical Center, titled The Four Qualities, which we were supposed to have before, but it was postponed till this upcoming Monday, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan, wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.